Thank you, Lord, for your presence today. Aren't you so glad for his presence? You come into church and it doesn't matter what your week's been like. You can come into his presence and just like, oh, okay, I'm ready for a new week. Amen? So we're continuing on with our tithes and offering, and we are on the letter S. And we have been learning the different reasons alphabetically why we should tithe. And for the letter S today, it's sharing in this service. Sharing in this service. And it comes from 2 Corinthians 8. And if you have your Bibles, you can open up to that. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 3. And it says, "For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability." This is Paul talking to the Corinthian church. "Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people." Sharing in the service to the Lord's people. I love when Paul was talking about, and I blanked on the church that he was talking about, that, do you have your Bible really quick? Can I peek at that really fast? I apologize. So he is talking about Macedonia. That's it is. The church is in Macedonia. And Paul had already sent out word that they were going to be gathering for the people in Jerusalem. And the church of Macedonia did not have a lot of money. So if you're sitting here today and you say, well, I can't give because I don't have a lot of money. Guess what? God's already given you an example in the word of people who didn't have a lot of money who still gave. And listen to what he says. He says that they gave beyond their ability. And they urgently pleaded with us to be able to give. Can I tell you as a pastor how cool it is when someone comes up to you and says, please, please, can you do tithes and offerings today? Please, can you ask for my money? Please, I want to give. That's an exciting place to be as a pastor, but do you know how much more exciting that is for the Lord? When his people come into his presence, oh, Lord, worship's great, but I can't wait for tithes and offerings. I can't wait. It says that they earnestly or urgently pleaded with Paul for the privilege of sharing. And when I looked up this word sharing, in the Greek it says it means participation and communion. Oh, we already had communion, right? So is communion over? No. It's an act of communion in sharing. I love that. And then the next part I love, it's koinonia. The fellowship in the Spirit. So when you wrap it all up, it says, what is shared in common as basis of fellowship in a community? So when you bring your tithes and offerings, when you are sharing not just with this family of believers, you're sharing with the extended family of believers. It makes you a part of the fellowship of the body of Christ. That's exciting to me. Because that means when I bring my tithes and offerings, that I'm bringing my tithes and offerings and I am in fellowship with the people in Togo. I am in fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Israel. I am in fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Japan. I'm in fellowship with people that are on the other side of the United States. I'm in fellowship with all the body of Christ all over the world. That's exciting to me. Why is that important? Because we as the body of Christ are supposed to be 25 different parts, right? No, we're one body. And when we join in that fellowship, we are bringing in a oneness in the body of Christ. Sharing, we're sharing together. We're saying, your need is as great as my need. And if we all help meet each other's needs, then there won't be any need anymore. Amen? And God adds his supernatural to this process where maybe you're giving to meet the need of someone else, or maybe you're giving your tithes to the church to meet the need of the church, because that's what it is. He said, bring all the tithes in the storehouse so there will be food in my house, right? It's to take care of the house, but then there's offerings and missions and extra giving that we can do that also increases that oneness in sharing. Sharing in the service. Service means ministry. Every time you bring your tithes and offerings, you are part of a ministry. How about that? That's pretty exciting, right? Ministry, active service done with a willing, voluntary attitude. That's what makes this different than just any other service. That's what makes this different than any other ministry. It's a willing heart. We're talking about Memorial Day today, and I can pretty much guarantee you that the sergeants that have the new recruits that came in, if they came with a willing heart, their service is going to be different than the ones that were drafted and just dragged in. Because one wants to be there and one doesn't want to be there. Do you see the difference? And when you bring your tithes and offerings, there's two different hearts. You can come with a willing, voluntary heart to bring your tithes and offerings, or you can be the one that was dragged in and made to feel like they were made to do it. All those people ever want is your money. Can I tell you something? God has more money than he knows what to do with. You need to tithe because you need his money. You need him to bless what you have, that 90%, so that it goes beyond 100%. How many people can testify to that? That your 90% when you give your 10 goes way beyond what your 100% would have been. Amen? Because God is not trying to get money from you. He's trying to get money to you. But in the midst of that, we can be sharing in the service of the saints. No, sharing in the service to the Lord's people. Sorry. I wanted to add another S in there. So sharing, we want to participate with a willing heart to be part of the fellowship of the body of Christ. I don't know, that just got me excited this week when I was thinking about that. Because it's not just our church putting your tithes and offerings in. When you put your tithes and offerings in, the angels see all the churches all over the whole world, and they're like, oh, look at that big family. So when you give your tithes and offerings, you should also remember you are saying, I'm part of that. I'm part of that fellowship of believers as I give. And I give with a voluntary, willing heart. Amen? That wants to give back to the Lord. Amen. Grab your tithes and offerings this morning. Father, I just thank you so much for this series that we've been on, and we thank you for your word that enlightens us, Father. It opens our eyes and helps us to see clearly, Father. We just pray, Lord, that you would anoint every gift that's given today as we share, as we become a part of the fellowship of the body of Christ all over the world today. Father, and we come with willing hearts, God, not grudgingly, not of necessity, but God, we come with willing, cheerful hearts today. We want to give. We are pleading to be able to be a part of this body, to be able to be a part of what you're doing as a whole, Father, all over the world, God, through the body of Christ. And we just praise you today that every gift sown, Father, is going to have a 100-fold harvest in Jesus' name. We praise you, Lord. We are blessed to be a blessing, Father, that we are blessed so that we can give back. And like you said, we are part of Abraham's seed. And so we thank you, Lord. We have more than enough to give to every good work, Father. And we just give you all the praise and all the glory for a blessed rest of our service and a blessing on this offering today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Happy Memorial Day. Let's pray and get right into this message. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and glory in advance for all the wonderful things, God, you're doing in us, in our families, in our church, in our nation. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Amen and amen. Well, we're beginning a message. Now, next week will be Mission Sunday. But, you know, that's why we gather, right? We want to get the gospel of liberty, the freedom in Jesus preached all around the world. So one of the things that really jumped out to me when I was, you know, it's good to be studying, be a student of our the truth of our history. Amen. Now, we know that America, we have issues. We've always had issues. Israel had issues. Our families have had issues. You know, everyone's got issues, right? But the devil likes to just take an issue and blow it all out of proportion and create more lies and just distrust and Marxism and all these things to divide people, right? Even though our country has had issues, our country has the call of God on it. The USA was God's idea, God's plan. And one of the things that I heard recently about President George Washington, it's something that he said, was this message of liberty is not just for this land. This message of liberty needs to be carried across the world, right? Liberty in God. Hallelujah. And so this phrase, I was asking the Lord about what to title this. You know, this is going to be kind of a message that will go on for several weeks right through the 4th of July. Amen. Of course, next week being Mission Sunday, we'll be focusing on that. But it's all a part of the same message. Amen. Liberty. Somebody say liberty. And this phrase, as I was studying, I took this book with me on our vacation called Biblical Citizenship. And it's the ministry of from Patriot Academy, Rick Green in Texas. And I'm actually signed up to be in a Zoom kind of a training, a class. Who thinks it's good that the pastor continues to be in class? I got that P by my name. I don't need to learn anything else. You just sit down and listen to me. I got something to say. Right. This class I'm going to be in for the next, I think it's 8 weeks on Monday nights between 6 and 8. It's a Zoom class. I do have, you know, other things I'm doing business-wise during the week. But I'm going to do my best to be in that Zoom meeting on Monday nights. And it's the Biblical Citizenship class. And you'll be getting nuggets from that throughout the next several weeks. Because why reinvent the wheel? Amen. It's going to be a marvelous time of believing God for his plan for us, for our nation, for the church. Amen. How many believe that God loves the USA? He loves Israel. He loves all the nations of the world. Right? Red and yellow, black and white, we are precious in his sight. Right? That's the truth. He created all of us. Great big family. How boring would life be if everyone looked like me? That's why I married a brunette. Because I see blonde hair all the time, right? So we've got a great big God who loves all the people. Amen? But I want to focus in. Our foundation text is Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. And it says this. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Somebody say, we've been called to liberty. And this phrase, the blessings of liberty, comes right off the first paragraph of the Constitution. Amen. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty. Now, if that is not a word for 2024 and beyond, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. And I believe there's I don't have an exact number, but there's more than one of the leaders in this nation who need to remember that. They're here to serve, not to be served. Because you see, blessings of liberty also come with responsibilities of liberty. It's the same thing, right? How many enjoy the freedom of driving a car? But how many know Steve can't go out there and say, well, I'm free to drive this car however I want? Responsibility of liberty. Who would like to, I know not a lot of people do this, but there are people who fly jets. How many know that's a great freedom to be able to fly a jet? I mean, to be in Japan by tonight. Wow. But how many know this? Along with that liberty, there comes also this thing called responsibility. We saw a lot of people out in the lake on boats, and none of them were doing mock speed through the buoys where all the houses are. They were going about 5 to 10 miles per hour. Great liberty in driving a boat. But there's this thing also called responsibility that comes with our liberties. So there are many people in this nation who have taken liberty and abused it and twisted it, just like the devil does. The devil takes a nugget of truth and twists it and makes it vile. Amen. Today's message is going to be kind of like a funeral message. Not a funeral for the United States, but we're going to honor people who've laid their lives down for this nation. Amen. And we're going to talk about some things. And then moving forward, this will be the title of this series, The Blessings of Liberty. And somebody say, with blessing there comes responsibilities. Amen. Is it a blessing to own a house? But how many know with owning a house there comes responsibility? It's a blessing to work in the business world, but with having a job, there comes responsibility. Doesn't mean Steve can just go do whatever Steve wants to do. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, the word liberty, here's the definition of the word liberty from the concordance, from the Greek. Freedom. Somebody say freedom. Well, I'm free to decide any one of 37 genders. No, you're not. And how dare any church, so-called church, make that a part of their church logo? I do not want to answer for that. And that's just one example, but it's always the one that seems to fly off the tongue the fastest, right? Amen. People who abuse the blessings of liberty are child abusers. It comes right down to hurting children. And so the church across the board, I'm not talking to you all in this room, but the church across the world, we've been silent. Silent. And the church needs to rise up and speak up and grow up and show up. Amen. Why? Because there is a responsibility to protect liberties. Truth and liberty. Amen? Freedom, it means legitimate or licentious. Now, licentiousness is sin. Right? So people can take freedom and either celebrate legitimate freedom, and that's what we want to do. We want to come back to the original intent. Well, the original intent was flawed and corrupt and racist and, oh, come on. Come on. Somebody say, come on. Let's march. Let's follow our leader. Hallelujah, right? Legitimate freedom versus licentious freedom. Well, this is a free country. I want legalized drugs. Just yesterday on the way back from Seattle area, a guy passed us doing probably 90 in a 70. And weed all of a sudden. The smell of marijuana was in my car. How did that happen? Licentiousness. He's exercising his freedom. No, he's abusing freedom. With the permission of certain people in authority that do not care. There was one district attorney recently that was speeding, doing 50 in a 35. The police officer followed her to her house. I mean, lights on. And her response to him was, I was going home. Do you know who I am? Call this number. And the officer's like, ma'am, you are speeding. Doesn't really matter who you are. I'm not here to talk about who you are. Somebody say, don't abuse liberty. Liberty is a precious thing that men laid their lives down and died. Not so somebody could smoke weed and do drugs and lie to children. Hallelujah. Freedom, legitimate or licentious. Unrestrained, to go at your pleasure. Now, praise God, we have the freedoms of traveling from state to state. Now, they tried to get heavy on us a few years ago. If you remember, don't come into our state unless you fill in the blank. But this nation has always had the freedom. I want to go to Seattle. Go! I want to go to Miami. Go! I want to go to Hawaii. Go! But the term unrestrained has taken on a new definition, if you haven't noticed, in the past few decades. Unrestrained evil. Unrestrained lawlessness. Unrestrained thoughts. Unrestrained actions. Unrestrained leadership. That's not the liberty we're talking about. Hallelujah. Well, why are we talking about this in church? Because this is where we need to talk about it. This is where the army of God gathers. Unrestrained, to go at pleasure as a citizen. Somebody say, as a citizen. Citizenship has responsibilities attached to it. And believe me, we are open to other people becoming citizens. But don't just move here acting like you can do whatever you want to do. Nobody cares. Unchecked. Danger, danger. That's an abuse of liberty. Not a slave, whether freeborn. I meant to look this word up. Manumitted. I assume that means whether freeborn or you came here. Right? We're not slaves. But if you notice, the more unrestrained people get, the more slaves they become. Because now somebody has to medicate you. And somebody has to, watch you at all times. All the sexual transitioning stuff that they push, you know how much medication and drugs those people have to be on? And depression that they deal with. The more unrestrained people get, the more government has to control them. Amen. Somebody say, I'm not a slave. I'm freeborn. Because first and foremost, my allegiance is to God. Because I'm born again. Therefore, I am freeborn. Amen. It also means exempt from obligation or liability. How many know it's a good thing to be exempt from obligation or liability to do what other nations tell you to do? Exempt from obligation or liability to tyranny. But there's a lot of folks, if you haven't noticed, maybe this is breaking news, but there's a lot of folks who think they're exempt from the speed limit, exempt from basic right and wrong, exempt from biology. Exempt from this book, right? Hallelujah. I know this is a real uplifter, isn't it? Well, we're going somewhere. Somebody say, this is not a funeral for America. Let's call it a funeral for the devil. Let's call it we're done with his plan. We're coming back to original intent. You know what the Lord showed me when I was praying about this yesterday? You know how your phone sometimes tells you to get off the freeway and then it brings you right back to the freeway? That happened yesterday, the other day. We had two smartphones going and I'm like, as soon as I get FI5, guys, I'm lost. Tell me what to do. And we had two different phones on two different apps. And so one said go this way, one said to take a left, and they both ended up being the same thing. Kind of looped us around and brought us back. Here's a picture the Lord gave me while I was praying about this. Is that's exactly what's been happening in this nation. Is the devil led us off on this tangent, and guess what we're doing? We're coming back around to I-5. by the grace and power of God and his people standing in the gap. Amen. We veered off. Where are we? Where are we? This does not look like America. But you'll see, as time goes on, we are coming back to the original intent. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I am not exempt from moral obligation and liability to one another, to other citizens, to other people around us. Amen. So it's good to know as American, as believers, first of all, that's why Christians make the best leaders, because we understand our leader taught us it is blessed to serve, not be served. As a pastor, you know, I was a children's minister, I was a janitor. Always God gave me a heart to serve. And I always loved children's ministry. And I could just see myself being a children's minister forever. In fact, I said, Lord, you could really use me right about now. Children's ministry, right? But he's the boss. And you know what he told me? He said, no, now it's time for you to serve everybody. Hallelujah. So I told my son Luke, got elected as the class president next year at the high school. And he has a heart to serve. All my kids do. But I told him, I said, guess what that means, Luke? It means now you serve everyone. What an honor. And there's a grace to it. Doesn't mean you do what everyone thinks you should do. No. Somebody say God first. Bible first. God good, devil bad. Amen, right? Hallelujah. Well, this Memorial Day, we want to honor the courage of military members who lost their lives in battle. And I want to read to you, first of all, something that I read in wallbuilders.com. It's a great website to brush up on our history. Amen. And it's this is an article in regards to a World War II veteran named John, I'm going to call it Bassalone. America has a long history of military members who have shown extraordinary courage, with many willingly giving their lives to secure the freedoms of that our nation enjoys. Freedoms we often take for granted. On Memorial Day, originally known as Decoration Day, we honor the sacrifice of these brave men and women. World War II, from 1941 to 1945, was an especially deadly war, with over 400,000 Americans being killed in famous military engagements such as the Battle of the Bulge and D-Day, as well as in many other lesser-known battles. Each life lost, whether on a major or an obscure battle, helped win peace and end tyranny. Somebody say, win peace, end tyranny. There were many heroes in that war, sung and unsung. One amazing example of heroism occurred during the campaign of Guadalcanal, August 1942 to February 1943. Sergeant John Bassalone and his handful of men were responsible for holding back a Japanese assault of thousands on October 24th and 25th, 1942. Bassalone, throughout his engagement, personally repaired and manned multiple machine guns. At times, he was unable to shoot his guns over the piles of dead who fell on the brink of his hill. When his small detachment ran low, Bassalone fought his way through the Japanese lines to resupply critically needed ammunition. The Americans eventually won this long campaign. As a result of his actions, Bassalone was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor. Later in the war, at the Battle of Iwo Jima, February 19th through March 26, 1945, Bassalone came ashore with the first wave of Marines. Shortly after landing, his unit was trapped by machine guns from Japanese blockhouses. I think I'm saying his name wrong. Bassalone worked his way around one of those blockhouses and single-handedly destroyed it. Later, as he was making his way towards an airfield, he came across an American tank trapped in a minefield. While under fire, he guided the tank out of the minefield into safety. He was later killed by flying shrapnel. Bassalone was awarded the Navy Cross for his courageous actions during the battle. There are many additional stories of heroic and noble acts by American soldiers throughout our history. Each Memorial Day, as we remember the military members who lost their lives in battle, let us honor the courage they showed. Hallelujah. How many know, moving forward, courage is something, I try to pick up key elements out of stories like this. Courage. Somebody say courage is essential to involved in enjoying blessings of liberty and passing them on to future generations. Courage is required. Amen. Now, there are things that happened in this particular era and in every other area that I don't like. Amen. When I did Miss Karen's mother's funeral, she was kept in a camp, an encampment in, I think it was in Idaho, right? Japanese Americans treated like, we don't trust you. That's wrong. And there were pictures. I was appalled at that. Appalled at it. Right? The disrespect and distrust for Japanese Americans here. Right? Now, that doesn't change the fact that there was an ugly World War II going on, and there were evil people out there of all different kinds of races going on and nationalities. The devil was behind it. Amen? But then when Miss Karen's brother, Ken, he served our country with honor his entire life. Loved this nation. Loved America. Honored to serve. So even though there are mistakes that our country has made over the years, we keep our eye on God and keep our eye on heaven and keep our eye on the original intent. Glory to his name forevermore. Hallelujah. Amen. But I want to read to you the numbers as this Memorial Day we remember those who gave their lives on battlefields over the years. So we'll go in sequential order. So 1775 through 1783, in the Revolutionary War, 25,000 of our troops died. 1812 to 1815, the War of 1812, 20,000 died in that. 1846 to 1848, the Mexican-American War, 13,283. In 1861 through 1865, this being the biggest, because it was us against us, the Civil War, 620,000 laid their lives down. And talk about another evil thing that ended, slavery. That was evil. Amen. And men laid their lives down, bled on battlefields for liberty, for all men and all women. Glory to God forevermore. This is one good reason why we can't let talking heads take us back into division and strife and nationality differences and skin pigmentation differences. It's Marxism. It's a work of the devil. We keep our eyes on Jesus. Somebody say, one blood, one father, one family. Hallelujah. 620,000. And then to tell us we don't like each other. That is a straight up fib. No. Amen. 1898, the Spanish-American War, 2,446. 1917 through 1918. That's when my grandfather was born. World War I, 116,518. than the story we just told from World War II, 1939 through 1945. 405,399 Americans. At the funeral I just recently did, the husband of the person that went home to be with the Lord, he was a Navy guy, just an awesome guy. And he said his father was a sergeant in the Army during World War II, and he wasn't in the invasions, but he was one of the guys that came in and firsthand saw the death camps. Can you imagine that? The evil that came against Jews and others, but mainly Jews, to be a part of bringing an end to that. That's the USA I know. I love how they chose the eagle. There was some discussion, I think, originally of a turkey or something, our national bird, right? Thanksgiving. But we saw eagles in action this week. Oh, man. One of my favorite moments was this bald eagle, and they were trying to catch fish out of the lake. And they were kind of playing and doing these circles. It reminded you of an F-15. Well, this one eagle decided it was time to head home. So he went about this high off the water, increasing speed. There was a tree, like, right there. And that was his nest. And there were some ducks hanging out on the like a dock. And he came in at low and high speed, and the ducks saw him at the last minute and just wah, 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 wah. And they just ran for their lives, right? And he went up into the tree. You can almost hear him laughing. That's the kind of intensity our nation has been known for over the years. We may not come get you, but we can. If you're going to be a bully, if you're going to be evil, we're available to God for him to use. The eagle's coming your way. But so many would try to take that and make it evil. Instead of an eagle, now you're evil. Somebody say, not me. Not me. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for we honor all these people, all these men. 1950 through 1953, the Korean War, where 36,516 gave their lives. The Vietnam War, 1965 through 1973, 58,209. The Gulf War, 1990 through 1991, 258. And then 2001 to present, they call it the War on Terror, 7,078. We honor their lives today. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thinking of the mothers, the wives, you know, hearing that their son isn't coming home. I mean, it's only removed by a couple generations, and even now we're hearing, you know, things in recent history. Those who lay their lives down for the blessings of liberty. And these wars, you know, they were to help other people out besides ourselves. Yeah, when they attacked Pearl Harbor, that was personal. We toured Pearl Harbor recently, and man, it is a sobering thing. Right? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I want to close with a couple thoughts on turning the tide of evil. Turning the tide of evil. I've seen a bumper sticker in a lot of cars in the Northwest, and it's the outline of the state, and it's Washington or Oregon, and it says, "Not all who wander are lost." Right? Did you know there's a lot of people out there that just prefer to be lost? They don't care. The gospel is offensive. Their hearts are hard. They don't want to hear it. I'm not lost. I'm just wandering. Leave me alone. And yet we continue to preach the gospel because you don't know. It's kind of like throwing spaghetti up against the wall. You don't know what's going to stick. And while they're still breathing, we're going to keep preaching the gospel. But there's some folks out there, guys, that just will never turn. Never. And that's on them. Our part, somebody say, our part is to live for Jesus ourselves. To live for God ourselves. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, it says this. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. God says to his people, you need to be the ones to turn the tide of evil by turning to me. If the church gets real serious about repenting and living clean and honoring God, watch this. He's already doing it. If you haven't noticed, there's already a change in the tide. There's already a change happening. It's like coming to the tip of a triangle, right? The closer you get to the tip, the less room there is to miss it. Somebody say, stick with Jesus. I always like to, as a part of this Memorial Day message, I also like to talk about the U.S. mortality rates. And these are numbers from 2022 from the CDC. And I just want to go over the top three. These are like the top 10 ways people die. There's a war. There's still a war on people, whether it's through sickness and disease or whatever, right? But heart disease, 702,880 people died from heart disease in 2022. Cancer, 608,371. Accidents, unintentional injuries, 227,039 people. Those are the top three ways. Well, it's really not, because what I'm about to say. I actually sent an email to our representative recently, again. And I said, you know, if you look at the U.S. mortality rates, there's a glaring thing missing. It's called abortion. Abortion is not included in our U.S. mortality rates because there are people in leadership who don't count unborn babies as even human. If they just simply would include it in the mortality rates, do you know it would be number one every year? In 2023, 878,000 they approximate. At least include it in the mortality rates. Why? Because it brings this thing called awareness. Have you ever heard any advertising for healthy hearts? Have you ever heard any advertising about avoiding cancer? There should also be a lot of advertising about how to save unborn life. This is wickedness. This is another way our country has gone astray and twisted the meaning of liberty in terms of you are now free to murder your own child. That's evil, church. Amen? And the pulpit cannot be bashful about saying that as to not offend someone or hurt someone's feelings. So we remember those lives too today, Lord. The attack on our children, pushing a million a year, the attack on the unborn, we remember them today. And we pray for the healing of every mother and every father that approved in Jesus' name that you would bring about righteous change in our nation, that you would bring about hearts, O God, like 2 Chronicles chapter 7, people who are called by your name, we humble ourselves, we pray, we seek your face, and we turn from our wicked ways. And we trust, Lord, that you will do your part. It's really easy to get overwhelmed with the tide of evil. But all we have to do is right there. In 2 Chronicles 7:14. Yeah, yes, he'll lead us into taking action. We're going to talk about that over the next several weeks. But the first thing, priority one, church, is repent ourselves and keep ourselves right with God. I was going to show you a video, which we don't have time to show. But it's a video, it might come up again later this series. But it's a video of Evel Knievel attempting to jump Snake River. And he failed. He lived, of course, because he's Evel Knievel. But the connection there is we have to get back, draw people back in from a nation who has the idea that I can still do this and everything's okay. Just watch me. I don't need God. I don't need laws. Watch me. And all the people, you should see the hundreds of people that were around to watch. I can do it. You just watch me. I don't need that God stuff. You just watch me. You just watch me. You're going to die. But if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. And we are seeing it, church. We're seeing that. We're seeing that. The eagle's coming back, man. You know, that term, the scripture about, and this is God too, the eagle that has got renewed youth. And he goes up somewhere and he's by himself and he breaks his beak off and he sheds his old feathers and all of a sudden here he comes again. Only thing is he's got a lot more wisdom to teach the younger eagles, right? That's what's happening to our nation in the name of Jesus. Glory to his name forevermore. Let's all stand up and we'll pray and celebrate Memorial Day. Why? Because we remember the original intent of our nation to enjoy the blessings of liberty and carry the responsibilities of it and to turn ourselves to God. So right now, Lord, we turn ourselves to you. We repent of any known sin. We pray, God, that you would forgive our land for the murder of children and the sexualizing of children and the trafficking and the lies, deceptions being pushed on children. We turn to you. We repent. All these men that bled and died on battlefields, they did not do it for such things as this. But to bring actual liberty and freedom, not just to this nation, but the nations of the world. We turn to you now, Lord. Somebody just say, I turn to you, Lord. I turn to you now. I receive forgiveness of every sin, and I thank you for healing our land. And I say to you, church, that includes your children, that includes your grandchildren, that includes your family, your marriages, your businesses, ministries. Watch for the healing hand, because I'll tell you what, yes, there were men involved and women involved in this, but don't ever mistake, it was an act of God that brought this nation around. And he'll do it again. And we commit, Lord, to be a strong church. A strong church that preaches the word. That lives a life of faith and love and peace and joy and purity. We are a strong church. Pointing people up to you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And we'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen.